I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. Bon appetit. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on a bench, hour number two on a Monday night with Mafia on my side. Oklahoma State up 63-61 with a minute 16 left. And Texas Tech has the Rock down two. Great finish at IBA in Stillwater. It's as good as it gets. Look at McClung. Pulls up from the free throw line with a pump fake dagger and hits it. Ties the game. Boy, that kid can play. Remember, he transferred from Georgetown. He can flat-out play. Boy, he went to Lubbock and just took over that team. That little white boy can flat-out ball. You know, I'm watching this game. I won't deny Cunningham's got the, physical attributes and the size. You can see he's ripped and et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is, I'm not falling over watching him play. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Like, I've heard all this stuff about, he's far and away the top pick in the draft, and he's got 18 tonight, 18, 5, and 2. I'm not going to deny the kid can play, but I'm not overwhelmed by him. I don't see what the fascination is. I really don't. Like, I'm just watching him go through the paces of this game. And, I mean, he's got 18, and he's doing his thing, and he's bringing the ball up, and he's running the offense. And that's about all he's doing. I won't deny that 18's a solid game, whatever. But, when I watch guys that are, in my opinion, guys that are going to be the number one draft pick, the top player in the country, just hands down, right? I mean, shouldn't a guy have like 28, 30 points in this game? It's a big game, national television. They're playing on ESPN. It's a great rivalry game. And, this is a chance to show off, right? Isn't it? Just show everybody what you're made of. And to me, like, I would have had 18 in this game. I mean, he should have 30 if he's such a badass. You know what I mean, Mafia? Like, he doesn't stand out to me at all. In fact, I think the little kid McClung is a better player. I'm sitting there watching him just hitting daggers. Meanwhile, I saw Cunningham hit a wing shot, but he's not doing anything at all. Nothing at all that blows me away that I'm sitting here going, man, I got to get my hands on him as the number one. What will we be like without him? How will we ever run our franchise without him? I mean, honestly, what have you seen him do at Oklahoma State besides, nothing? What has he done at Oklahoma State this year that's so fascinating that he's the number one pick? I just can't figure it out. Would you take him seriously? Like, you're going to take him number one over all these other really great players and even like Garza? And I know Garza's as white as they come, but that guy put, you know, he'll pour in 25 to 30 every single time he plays.
Yeah, he's good. He's awesome, especially for that level. The problem is that his game, I don't think, translates as well to, you know, the NBA. I think this kid, you know, what he's shown as a freshman, I think, is a lot. I know it's not a, you know, the highlight reel spectacular that you're expecting, but you know, you also got to remember he's on a team where everyone's focused on him because there really isn't much talent otherwise around him. And still, he's made them a good team, way better than they should be. And he's still able to get 18 to 20 with everyone focused strictly on him.
Fair enough. It's like, I'm not stupid. I saw the guys having a good game, and it's not a great game. It's not like he's bowling me over. We welcome in our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio. I'm Pharrell with Mafia on a Monday night on the bench. So I'm not blown away by him. So, you know, that's great. He's the greatest player ever. He's going to be the number one draft pick in the NBA. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. Yeah, thanks. Yawn. Meanwhile, I'm watching some 5'10" white kid hitting daggers from everywhere on the floor. Now, look, I bet on Oklahoma State. I'm not saying the kid's not a good player. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I'm not blown away by him. I watched him play tonight, and I'm just like, okay. Like, I've watched him play a couple times this year where I watched, because I don't really, how should I put it, give a rat's ass about Oklahoma State basketball any more than I do Oklahoma State football. You know, I've been hearing about Gundy and Oklahoma State football every year since he's been there, that they're this great, you know, offense and everything else, and they never amount to a hill of beans, ever. They never do. And what is, you know, let's face facts. Since Eddie Sutton, in my opinion, they've never done anything in college basketball. I mean, that's just the bottom line. He was the best coach they ever had. And, you know, even when he was there, they didn't get it done. And now they never get it done. Now, I get it. He's the number one player. That's fine. Congratulations. Like, who would you rather have? Do you think that kid's better than Anthony Edwards? Like, you already see this guy posterizing people in the NBA. Do you think that this kid, Cunningham, is going to go into the NBA and just start throwing down on people like Edwards does? I want to see it to believe it. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope the kid's the greatest player ever.
Your search is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art of sports talk.
This is the Winning Edge.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
On the bench, 844-843-6879 to get on. That was abrupt. Anyway, so at the end of this game, just terrible defense by Oklahoma State. Now, McClung missed the three on the right wing, out on the, NBA range. He threw up an air ball. And the ball hit the backboard, and they slapped it out to the left wing three-point line where a guy caught the ball and he literally pump faked and they bit and he threw the ball under the basket, standing all alone, literally showering under the basket and soaping up and literally and having a cappuccino you know those things you dip in there, Mafia? Like the little cookie you dip in the cappuccino? It's like
a little like biscottis?
Hard... Yeah, yeah. Like, he was having a biscotti. He was down there. He was having a biscotti because he was under the basket having a shower, a little biscotti, had a cappuccino going. His girlfriend was giving him a foot massage. I mean, this guy was standing all alone under the basket, and he made a basket with 2.8 seconds left to tie the game. Then they go down. They still got a three off at the end of the game after a jump ball. They got the ball, threw it out to the top of the perimeter, and the kid threw up a shot, hit the front of the rim, and doinked it. And now they're going to a five-minute overtime. And I got to tell you, the minute I saw that bad defense where they had the game won, they had it won, they were up two, McClung shoots an air ball three. I mean, could have taken someone's eye out. It was so bad. And then it hits the backboard. They get the ball out to the wing. He throws it under the basket for the easy layup. Nobody's standing 10 feet from him. That's how wide open this kid was. Their defense was so bad on that play that they got burned. And now you know what's going to happen, right? Like, I will keel over if they win this game. Because, Mavi, do you feel like when you have a game one, I mean, you have it over, it's over against a ranked team. You got the game. You're up two. No time left. And you force a brick air ball from a guy from 28 feet out. And he shoots nothing but, like, bricks flying through the air like in a bombing. It was like World War II. They were sending bombs from the sky and taking out towns. I'm telling you. That's how bad that shot was. And the fact that they got a basket out of that untouched layup, standing under the basket, having a biscotti, then you lose the game. Because you've already blown the game. Now you go lose it, right? But watch, they'll win by nine. But do you think they'll lose it now after they blew it? Seriously, they had the game won.
I mean, that was just a boneheaded play. You saw all of them, like all five of them, follow the ball like it was dogs. You know, like the dog, you have the ball and you fake it one way, he looks that way, and then you fake it the other way, he looks the other way. Like,
right.
He's just following the ball the whole time with his eyes. Like, that's what all five of those guys were like. All of them running out there to the three-point line, like that was going to save the game. Like, forgetting, hey, only one of you needs to defend this guy. Everyone else could just stay back and wait for another crappy rebound. Yeah, that was a terrible defensive play. But I'm not going to say they're going to lose it just on that, because I will give them credit. You know, we were talking earlier about how, you know, Texas Tech is definitely a more veteran team, more, you know, knows what they're doing in this kind of situation team. Although I do remember a couple of weeks ago, I actually won money on Oklahoma State. They were like plus 400 down three late against Texas, came back and won in double overtime, I think. Though, so they have been in this situation before,
yeah.
So they can do it.
Yeah. I mean, they're at the line right now, and they're up three. With, you know, still 4.5 minutes to go, but they're up three. And, you know, the kid Boone's at the line. He's hit 6 of 9. He's got 18. All I know is when the ref made the call on that foul, that McClung grabbed both of his ears like Mickey Mouse and was laughing at the ref. That's how bad the call was. He was, like, laughing at him. He's like, oh, my God, you just made that call. I have Mickey Mouse ears. That's, he just gave him the business. I like watching the little white boy play. You blew it!
You blew it!
I like when Mafia plays that twice, just so in case you missed it the first time and you didn't find that funny, then the second time it hits you like right in the face. It really does. I have to tell you, Mafia, I went outside tonight and I shoveled what I like to refer to as 100-pound snow.
Yes,
it was like, because I know you were out there because you couldn't use the snowblower. You couldn't use the snowblower. I wasn't doing it to mine. Mine can cut through trees. It's so badass. But I wouldn't even try it because that's how heavy that snow was. It was water. It was like snow cones. That's what it was
slush,
like.
Yeah.
But it was, you know. Slush, but it was heavy, heavy D. Like, yeah. I did the whole thing with a shovel, and I got, like, a pretty big driveway, right? I was literally, I mean, honestly, when I was done, I thought I had been dragged by a truck because I'm in great shape. And I did it, but I did it fairly quickly. I did it fast, right? And I was like, all right, this is 100 pounds snow. Every shovel was 100 pounds. And I'm like, and that's heavy. You know, that's like picking up like big, giant, you know, mortar bricks for a house, the foundation of the house, right? I'm sitting there, 100-pound bags. If you do a 100-pound bag, no big deal. Try doing, you know, 5,000 of them. You know what I mean? That's how many swoops you do when you're shoveling your driveway, if you got a big driveway. So I'm out there, and I need to tell you, this snow weighed 100 pounds of whack. Every time I lifted it, my onions were like, and I lift weights every day of my life. But it didn't matter, because this was wet, heavy-ass snow, and I was like, I mean, the language coming out of my mouth on that driveway, because I just was so, I'm so sick and tired of it. And then I'm out there lifting 100 pound like snow cone ice. It was so effing heavy, Mafia. You can't even deny it, because I know you got hit with it too. And it was heavy. It was wet, heavy snow. It wasn't like at the end of my driveway, it was like Lake Louise. It was like ice. It was like a frozen lake in Montreal. It was literally, it was a like frozen water. Like I could have like served it for dinner, but it was, you know, gray and filled with car cack. All I know is I wasn't going near that. It was ankle deep. And I was like, I told 34C, I was like, listen, just when you go to the bottom, just hit it. go right through it and just hit it. Because you don't want to get slowed up and now you can get stuck in it, even with a big rig. Were you dealing with heavy snow, Mafia?
Yeah, I was. You know, it was a situation where I've been so tired of shoveling that when we had like, you know, there was like 2 or 3 inches of snow earlier today. It was like light, fluffy snow. I'm like, I heard it's going to go wintry mix later on. I'm not shoveling this. I was just hoping it was going to wash it all away. And instead, you know, bit me in the ass. And I had to deal with all that slush. Because then I took the dog out after the show, after Coast to Coast, you know, go to the bathroom. And I walked in. I'm like, if I leave this here, I know it's going to freeze over tonight. And everywhere, you know, on my property, it's going to be like an ice rink. And I don't want that going to my car tomorrow. So got out there, started shoveling. I mean, I'd take a break between, you know, shoveling and come in and eat a little bit. And then go back out and finish it. Yeah, it was a pain in the ass.
Did you just see that turnover by Texas Tech in this game? Like, literally, the guy got hammered. I think they cut his arms off. They cut his arms off. No call. And you know what they got for it? A turnover going the other way. And another no call. They're just not calling. They put the whistles away, apparently, in the overtime. Because I saw 2 fouls in a row. And they just completely blew it off. They completely blew it off. But it is what it is. I'd rather play ball than have a bunch of calls, honestly. Because I just wanted to say before anything else happens on the show that I hate all referees, including family members. If you're like a family member ref, I hate you too. All right, Pharrell on the bench. You know, I was just talking to Mafia, and I'm excited to tell him the same story again, but shorter. Is that, you know, Bob Knight was in Lubbock, and he coached at Texas Tech at the end of his career. But I said, literally, I know him like the back of my hand. And if you left that guy wide open that tied the game with 2.8 seconds left when you had shut him down on the three and he shot an air ball, McClung, and it hit the back of the backboard and then rolled all the way out to the wing. And then that guy throws it under the basket for a layup with 2.8 left to tie the game when you got him by two in your building and they're ranked and you got him by two with, you know, 2.8 left and you let that play happen. I'm telling you, he would have eaten the kid alive, because guaranteed he would have figured out who screwed it up. He would have known immediately who screwed it up, because in my opinion, they obviously screwed it up, and they should have won the game right then and there. But he would have lit him up, like in front of everybody. Then he would have, after the game, would have told him how stupid he was. Now, people don't like hearing this, but that's the reality of it. Like, this guy didn't sugarcoat it. There was no, you know, be friendly. You know, what do they call it? The cancel culture, Mafia. You know, Bob Knight wouldn't have fit in with the cancel culture, because if you made that play, you would have been canceled. You would have not played in overtime. He would have humiliated you on the bench, and after the game, he would have done you in the locker room in front of everybody else. And then he would have done it the next day at practice. He would have brought it up again, maybe in the following day, too. The game was on Saturday. Sunday, he told everybody, Brian, Monday, Tuesday, he's still talking bad about you. Next time you play, you're sitting at the end of the bench wondering why you're getting no burn at all. And it's because he thinks you're a stupid ass. Now, the other thing about Knight that was interesting was that he went, when he coached at West Point, they figured out at that point in his career, the world and the media figured out that he was smart. And then they were like, uh-oh, he's good at coaching. And now he's winning. And then, you know, make a long story longer, he went to Indiana and coached there for 30 years and won, you know, 3 national championships. All I know is that he would have figured out who screwed up that last play. And they would have, he might have made him walk home. He would have made him call her mommy and get a ride home from the game. He wouldn't have let him on the bus. And the stuff he used to do to players then, if he did it now, he'd be like doing time at Leavenworth. Like, nowadays, everyone, seriously, it's so soft. Like, you're not allowed to yell at anybody or anything else. So, I don't even know how you coach anymore, but I still see, you know, I go around watching a lot of games, high school, college, otherwise. I still see coaches yelling. Everywhere I go, I see coaches yelling at players. It's how they do it, I guess. It's differently. Is that I think one of the things that people don't realize, Knight was 6'6", 310 pounds at his peak. I mean, he was big. Like, he was a big dude. He played at Ohio State. He was enormous. And he was not 310. I said he could hit a golf ball 310 yards. But he was 6'6", you know, 250, 260. He was a big boy. I'll never forget because when I was around him, I was always enamored with his size and how big he was and how intimidating he was. Because, you know, when someone's smarter than you and bigger than you and more intimidating, and you know, that's a cocktail for you're going to be at the short end of the stick in some capacity or another. When the guy's bigger, more intimidating, and smarter than you, and you know he's smarter than you, that's where your problems start, right? So I think when he was there, and when he was at Indiana and at West Point, I mean, this guy was like Patton in terms of running these teams. And you did what he said, and that's that. And you did it right. You did it the right way. And you did it over and over again 5 million times. And then if someone screws it up after that, then they deal with his wrath. I mean, this guy, he would light people up like no one's business. Like nobody's business. So Oklahoma State ends up winning the game. They got away with it, Mafia, 74-69. I had Oklahoma State to win and getting the 2 outright, the upset, and I did it today on Coast to Coast. I am surprised. I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised that the blown 2-point lead with 2.8 seconds left didn't cost them. Because in my world, when you have it and you're playing a good team, a ranked team, and they're in your building, and you have the game won, and then you let it slip through your fingers at the end of regulation, and you go to overtime, I think 8 out of 10 dentists prefer you're going to lose the game. Once you blow it in reg, you're going to lose it in overtime. So I'm impressed, Mafia, that they won it in overtime, that they actually got the W. And, you know, I think they need it. They're 16-2 in the last 18 home games. The Cowboys, they get it done. Cunningham had 20. It is what it is. But, I, you know, I'm telling you, I thought they'd lose when they blew that lead at the end.
Yeah, and you know, the thing too that was more surprising is not just that they won, but I think that they won kind of in the end of that overtime on defense. I mean, that second play that you thought was a foul, when you go and look back, at least to me, I also thought it was a foul straight up. And then when I saw it later on the replay, the guy came from the weak side to me and got the clean block, and then the other guy comes in, might have made some contact, but by that time, the ball's already gone. So I think that the big plays in the end for them were the defensive ones.
So the guy you're telling me, so the guy you think that went in, the white boy that went in against the two brothers for the dunk and he swatted his shot, you didn't think that guy got fouled?
I thought there was contact after the block. I thought that the guy got the clean block and then they both ran into him afterwards.
Okay, but listen, that's as you know, that's not the way basketball works in terms of if he goes up and goes for the dunk and the guy blocks the shot, fantastic. But if they still foul the crap out of him, it's a foul. Okay? You have to land. There's an after shot and there's a landing. And they always talk about they've taken away his landing space. Well, that would be akin to what we just saw. The white boy goes in for the dunk. The two guys annihilate the shot by blocking it, right? But then they fouled the crap out of him. I mean, that guy got fouled. That's just all there is to it. And therefore, he's shooting too. Because he was going in for a dunk, got swatted, but fouled at the same time after the fact. But you still, after the fact, when he misses that dunk on the swat, he still can't foul the crap out of him and level him out of bounds and not, you know, even let him land without contact. That's a foul. It is what it is.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to give at least those guys credit for getting back and making the play there. Whether you like it or not,
they got the call.
Both of them got back and they chased down. Like, that should have been an easy play for him. He steals it at half court. He should be going in for a dunk, and both those guys get back and, you know, make a play.
Right. Well, so listen, the guys that blocked it, that was great. What was better is that they got away with it. Unless I'm mistaken, they didn't call the foul. So
they did not.
The reason they showed the play on the highlights after the game was because, in my opinion, it's because that was a foul. That was a huge non-call. They didn't call a foul when the guy literally, it was a great block, but he got annihilated. So, you know, they're always talking about you got to give them landing space, right? They've got to be able to finish the basketball play by landing. Now, if a guy gets blown out after a missed dunk and a swatted shot, and two guys crash into him, and one of them limps off the court because they all crash so heavily under the basket, you can't tell me that's not a foul. In any world, when a guy gets annihilated, it's a foul. That's it. I mean, it's one thing if the guy falls on his own and annihilates himself, but when he's tangled with two bodies underneath, there's three of them. It was like an orgy. And all I know is that's a foul. And I'm not rooting. The game was already Well, I guess it may have not been already over because that was, they were down and here's this steal and the guy's going to go in and dunk it and they swat it. It was a great swat, but I thought they fouled him. And I don't know what the score was at the time of the foul, but it is what it is. They didn't get it done. I don't even think that play matters. I mean, it was a non-call that was huge at the time, but they still lost the game, and Oklahoma State got the job done, and they got the buckets they needed. I thought that Cunningham roller under the basket when he was standing there, and there were two guys in his face, and he was basically facing the other direction and threw it up, and it rolled around the rim and went in. That was his 20th points. I thought that bucket was huge. And they finished them off, and they got the win. By the way, USC blew out Oregon tonight, Mafia. Did you see that? Were you surprised that they blew them out? And were you surprised that Duke actually, you know, blew out Syracuse?
I was surprised Duke blew out Syracuse because not that Syracuse is having a great season, but, you know, I don't think Duke is that good. I think that the wins over there, you know, Wake and NC State mean nothing to me, you know, because they're not good teams. But Syracuse is at least a decent team. I thought that should have been much tighter than it was. I'm a little surprised that USC blew out Oregon, although the Mobley kid is unstoppable for USC. That kid is amazing. That he might be, you know, if he's not drafted number one, he's number two then.
Yeah, I mean, they got the brothers on that team. So they got two of them. They could light it up. We were talking about them last week on Coast to Coast when they both had over 20 in a game, so. They obviously had it going tonight against Oregon. It's Pharrell on the Bench.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest,
am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Mafia doesn't play enough punk music for me in terms of, you know, my tastes. It just doesn't. It's not like something he worries about, but he doesn't. That was a solid riff he had going right there. You could feel it. Remember today we were like, yeah, the Avs own the Knights. We were talking to JT about it. JT the Brick was on the show, and we were, you know, he went to the Tahoe Experience, and then the Avs won the game at night, Saturday night, when they played at Midnight East, and they had beat them twice in a row. And then tonight, in Rado at the Pepsi Can, Vegas beat them 3-0. So much for the Avs own the Vegas Golden Knights, right? So those two, like, I think they've split now. I could be wrong, but I think it may be 2-2. Is it split 2-2?
Yeah, I think the Vegas won the first one when Colorado came back, 1-0, and then, or it might have been, I think Colorado won 1-0, and then Vegas won 3-2, then Colorado won 3-2, and then Vegas won 3-0.
Wow.
So all under games two for, you know, two teams that like to put the puck in the net a lot.
Yeah, so I saw it tonight, actually. Right now, the Coyotes, with 8 minutes left, are up 4-3 on the Ducks. The Wild, 2-1 on the Sharks. In the second, still just under 17 minutes left in the second. So a lot of hockey left there. They've already scored 3. And then in the third, in the desert, Coyotes up 4-3 on the Ducks. And then Lightning doubled up the Canes after they shut them out 4-0. The Canes did that to the Lightning. The Lightning returned serve with a 4-2 win over the Canes in Raleigh. The Flames went to Toronto and beat the Leafs 3-0, a huge shutout there on the road in Toronto. Can you imagine? I mean, that's impressive. David Rittich made 34 saves for his first shutout of the season and fourth of his career. That's enormous. Monahan had a goal and an assist. Tkachuk, a goal and an assist for the Flames. A big win that could get them rolling. Two power play goals. Those two guys had a power play goal each. Very impressive. Panthers 3-1 over the Stars. The Islanders 3-2 over the Sabres. Kings went to St. Louis and beat the Blues 3-0. Jonathan Quick, 31 saves. How about your boy, Dustin Brown? 2 goals for the LA Kings. Haven't heard his name in a while. Maybe I'm just tripping. But there you have it. The Lakers now, their lead down to 8 over the Wizards at Staples. And there's 2:49 left in the third, so they got a lot of ball left in that one. The Heat won in Oak City, 108-94. Bulls by 20 over the Rockets. They kicked their ass in H-Town. I gave you the Bulls today and the Heat to win. Mavs to win, 102-92. They beat the Grizzlies in Dallas. Suns over the Blazers by 32 in the Valley. They smoked them. No Dame time. Jazz, how about that? 132-110 over the Hornets in Salt Lake. Shakers, they get it done and blow out LaMelo and company on the road out in Utah. They should have gone to Alta skiing instead. You know what I mean? We told you some of the college basketball. USC beat Oregon. Duke 85-71 over Syracuse. Just in terms of you know, some of the bigger ones. And then Oklahoma State 74-69 in overtime over Texas Tech. New Mexico beat Air Force by 8. Sam Houston by 6 over Lamar. They didn't cover. Mercer blew out Citadel. Drake by 11 over Evansville. Elon, big, almost doubled up. William and Mary, Texas State by 5 over Arkansas State. And then St. Mary's by 5 over Pepperdine. They didn't cover. Moorhead 56-48 over Edwardsville, SIU Edwardsville. And then Louisiana by a bucket over Arlington. Monroe by 4 over Rock, Little Rock, Greensboro, 77-56 over West Carolina, Eastern Kentucky, 87-65 over Southeast Missouri State, and Liberty beat North Alabama by 20. There you go. It's all happening. I know tomorrow in college, RAC, Louisville hosting Notre Dame. You got LSU at Georgia, St. John's at Nova in Philadelphia. There's some other games, too, that I saw. St. Louis and VCU in Richmond. Illinois at the Breslin against Michigan State. West Virginia at TCU. Georgia Tech at VaTech in Blacksburg. Florida at Auburn. Iowa State at Baylor. Penn State at Nebraska. How about Kansas at Texas in Austin? Oklahoma's in Manhattan against Kansas State. Washington's at Arizona State. Ole Miss at Missouri and Columbia. And then a little Big East action. UConn in D.C. against the Hoyas of Georgetown. All of that tomorrow. I know you're excited about that. Now it's a five-point game with the Lakers up on the Wizards. Mavia, you never told me what you thought of the kid that really, at the end of the day, humiliated himself for going after Cam Newton at his little football camp.
I mean, I think you said it right there. I mean, the kid humiliated himself. I mean, he makes himself look like an idiot to everyone online. And I'm sure he thought he was cool the moment. Now all his friends, you know, seeing him on there, probably be like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like, you're at this guy's camp. It's not even like this is some random kid on the street sees Cam Newton, gives him heat, or, you know, at a Patriots practice during the season or something. Like, you're at Cam Newton's camp, and you're going to go try to punk the guy? Like, who are you? You know, especially with, you know, oh, well, you're going to be poor. You're a free agent. Like, you're going to be poor. Like, the dude's made over $100 million just in salary. Forget how much he's made off of that stupid yogurt commercials, you know, things like that, and the Campbell soup and whatever else he did. Like, this guy made a ton of money. Like, you're there for to learn from this guy. You want to be with what he is, a Heisman Trophy winner, an NFL MVP. Like, this isn't some guy who, you know, plays backup quarterback his whole career in the NFL. Sure, is, you know, he's got a little downhill from where he was because of the injuries and stuff, but I just thought the kid was a clown. But that's completely what the culture is right now, is all these kids that are entitled, that think they're better than everybody. Like, he's a nobody. Cam Newton's a superstar, you know, may not be the same level as he was, but still is. And this kid's just trying to take him down like he's some badass. And then, you know, it doesn't look great on Cam either going back at the kid. But then, you know, you see the clips afterwards where he's like flat out talking to the kid, just trying to like have a conversation with him. The kid's still being a jerk. It's like, no, dude, I'm trying to like, what did you do? Like, I'm trying to get to know you right now and find out where you're coming from. Like, why are you being a tool still? Like, the coach was getting involved. And I give Cam credit for that. That like, he didn't just go, you know, have his little tiff with the kid and then be like, forget this kid and go like report him to someone or do whatever. Like, he wanted to squash the beef and actually like try to have a positive impact on this kid. The kid was still being a tool.
Well, I think that, first of all, that the kid, somebody, obviously a coach or his parents, got to him and made him apologize. And then suddenly he had all this great wisdom and had seen the light. He had seen the light and that he had realized how poor he acted. And then the bottom line is it just didn't go well for him. And then someone convinced him to go apologize. And then people are like, well, it's so good that thank God he apologized, because he sure made an ass of himself earlier. But, you know, thank God he apologized for his behavior and learned his lesson. And I actually I don't think he learned his lesson at all. I think that he made a fool of himself, and then I'm sure his friends turned on him as well. I'll bet they all started making fun of him after he it all went south. Like, his big plan to attack Cam Newton at his own football camp just it backfired on him, because he, you know, obviously challenged him. He wanted to see if he could make him snap. That's what he was doing. And he started mocking him and making fun of him. And I thought that Cam Newton really summed it up in, you know, two words: I'm rich. And then no one likes hearing that, but the reality is he is rich. And that's what makes the world go around nowadays. I know some people may not agree with that, but let's face facts. In sports, in television, in life, who isn't about money? Seriously. I mean, at the end of the day, are you kidding me? Do you think Cam Newton went to play at Auburn and win a Heisman and win a national championship and then go play in the NFL and be an MVP and play in a Super Bowl and make a couple hundred million dollars in his career easily? How emphatic was he? Just, I'm rich. It don't matter what you think of me. And then he could have really gone on a tear with, you know, I'm Cam effing Newton. But he just tried to help the kid, and I thought the kid made an ass of himself. And then, you know, that's obviously, in my opinion, someone else convincing him to apologize. That's when you're forced to apologize and you don't mean it.
Right.
When you're a kid.
Like Ted Cruz.
When you're a that's right. Or when you're a kid and you don't know any better and you're just like, yeah. And like what I would have been like, and it wouldn't have gone over well, I would have been like, and Mavia knows I would have done this. I would have been, here's what I would have said. I would have said, listen, I just want to say how sorry I am because they're making me say it. That would be a whole nother controversy. I would have just said that. I'm here to apologize because they're forcing me to. That's exactly what they did to the kid. And, you know, whatever. And then he, like, I read it or something. I saw something about, like, you know, my plan is to play, you know, whatever, like college football and go to the next level. And certainly hope that it doesn't jeopardize my chances to succeed in life. My failure at the Cam Newton camp, you know, whatever. And he was still like trying to sell his future. He was like, I just want to play college ball and pro ball. So hopefully this won't detract from that because I'm an asshat. Sorry about that. I still want to be a star player. But, you know, it really goes to show you, it really does, right? Like, none of these kids respect anybody. So let alone some guy that's made it completely and had a hell of a career. Any way you slice it, he'll go down as one of the all-time greats in college football, in Auburn. And it, certainly he's the number one quarterback that the Carolina Panthers are ever going to have. Up until this point, he is the man. So I don't see any of their quarterbacks even coming close to doing the things he did on the ground and through the air, or wins or anything else, yards, running the ball, touchdowns. He owns every record in franchise history, every single one of them. And he's made a couple $100 million. So who's the sucker? He wins, and they'll never forget him. But we'll forget that kid. I'm just glad that I heard so many people say today, I'm so glad that he apologized. So glad. I'm not. I don't care about his apology. I know he didn't mean it. All right. Pharrell on the bench. So Cam Newton said that he's not going anywhere. I can't go out like that. I hear all that talk. My pride won't allow me to do it. There aren't 32 guys better than me. Boom. End quote. So he wants to keep playing, and I'm sure he will. I would think he'll get some kind of gig one way or the other in the NFL. I don't think he's finished either, but, you know, he had to deal with a lot. He had COVID, everything else. So he had to deal with a lot. He had a few good games for them. You can't even deny it. He had moments, but overall, I thought that team sucked. I thought that team was bad. I didn't think he had anything to play with there. I thought they were just flat out bad. They had hit a wall, right? That their luck had finally run out, and Brady was gone. And they, bottom line, they still had Belichick, but they had no real talent anywhere other than a few guys here and there, McCourty's, whatever. Gilmore, et cetera, that people get overwhelmed by, but they just didn't matter anymore. So how could he make them? Like, what's he going to take over and make them better, make them unstoppable? And the other thing I just wanted to say, the Kevin Mather, the guy out in the CEO of the Mariners, president and CEO. Can you imagine this guy? Can you imagine this guy went down to the Rotary Club and just started spewing all kinds of hate and vitriol? The guy was down there. He was bashing Japanese players, interpreters, everything, complaining about money, slamming players. Are you kidding me? Front office people. He was doing everybody, Mafia. That guy's having a bad day. He lost his gig, his power, his big fat paycheck with that major league, you know, president and CEO. You're making that fat stack, and then it's all gone because you went down to the Rotary Club. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. Night.